guys, welcome to our podcast, Heist and Slice, the true crime podcast. 1 week we talk about a heist, and the next we talk about a slice. I'm Shelby.
And I'm Nora.
And today we're back with a slice.
Working off of one microphone.
Yeah, we couldn't figure out how to hook the two up, and I'm over it. So we're just working with one.
Sorry we've been absent.
Yep, I had a mental breakdown, and...
It is both of us.
It's good now. Yeah. Take care of your mental health, for sure.
Right. Sometimes you just gotta walk away. Step away from stuff.
True.
So. Well, it's a slice.
Yeah. So, Nora,
it's Friday the 13th. It's my favorite holiday. Okay. So, we're gonna do little ones, like we did with our very last one a month and a half ago.
Oh, gosh. Has it really been a month and a half?
I feel like it has been. If not, then, well, I'm wrong. But I think I'm right. It's been a while.
All right. Let's hit it.
Okay. So, this is about a Polish author.
Okay.
Okay. So, the year is 2000. December 2000. A fisherman dragged the dead body of a man whose hands were tied behind his back and tied to a noose around his neck. I'm sorry, I can barely read my handwriting. The body was recovered from the Oder River in Poland. Police struggled to dig up any clues. In 2003, a book is released called Amok, or Amok? I don't know. A-M-O-K.
Amok.
Sure. Amok. You know what movie that is?
No.
You don't even like the movie, so I don't even know why I'm...
What movie is it?
Hocus Pocus.
Oh, fuck that movie.
The book is about an alcohol and sex-fueled man. It's a gruesome tale of a man who fatally stabs a woman. Police were tipped about this book 5 years after the book was released. So it took them 5 years after the book, and the body was recovered in 2000, but the book wasn't even released until 2003. So it took them, what, 8 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah. After the crime of the death of the woman, it was very similar to the actual death of the man that was recovered from, what did I say? From Oder River. Oder, maybe. I'm probably saying it wrong.
We say 95% of the stuff wrong.
The names are even worse.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. The man was identified as Darius... Jan Skwoski?
Oh, shoot. I don't know.
The book's protagonist, Chris, ties up his victim with her hands tied behind her back, and it was attached to the noose around her neck. The author of the book... Christian Bala, maybe? See, it's K-R-Y-S-T-I-A-N. Christian?
Sure.
Bala. Media soared as the eerily similar deaths were just too close for comfort. For 3 years, the Warclaw police failed to solve the murder until physical evidence was actually found linking Bala to the crime. In the book, the author describes every detail to the T of the murder. Details only the murderer would have known. So they had to read the book. So in 2007.
Yeah, but what physical evidence did they have besides the book?
I don't know. Apparently I didn't write that down.
Okay.
In 2007, Bala was sentenced to jail, or to prison for
2007?
Yeah.
I thought they didn't discover this till 2008. Because if it was 2000 when they pulled the body.
I think I meant to put 2008. This has been a month and a half
ago
of research.
I'll let go of my timeline.
You should, especially knowing that it's me.
Yeah.
He was sentenced to prison for 25 years for planning and committing murder of Darius Jan Skwoski. I don't know how to say that. Prosecutors believed the motive for the killing was tied to a jealousy of Bala. He had assumed his estranged wife was having an affair with Mr. Jan Skwoski. That's a hard name.
That is.
So apparently he's asked for a retrial in December 2008. He was resentenced to 25 years. The evidence that nailed his coffin shut, a book and plans to kill one other person. That's what it was. So he had a sequel for the book.
So the only evidence they have is the book?
And that he had a book that said that he murdered this man and he had plans to murder another man.
But there's no physical evidence.
No. His second novel was on his computer, so they found it all on his computer.
Yeah, but how is that evidence? He could just be a really good novelist.
And I feel like nowadays they wouldn't even be able to use half. They wouldn't even be able to use that.
It's a book. Like, I feel like. What?
I don't know.
That don't make no sense.
Okay, so I have some funny crimes. They're not slices. I think one of them might be a slice. I don't remember. It's been too long ago.
Okay. Hit me.
Okay. A retired couple from Lancashire. I don't know. I can't read my handwriting. Returned home from holiday in 2014. They discovered a burglar in their home, but he was fast asleep. In their bed.
What? Is this a Goldilocks situation?
Yes. The couple, Martin and Pat Dyson, were shocked to find Lucas. Oh, no. Maybe? Chojanovsky had done their dishes and washed his underwear and even bought groceries.
Wait, I think I heard about this.
He was given 2 years of probation and had to pay £200 in costs.
For the groceries?
for damages done to the property. Yeah, so okay. While they were gone on vacation or
holiday. He broke a window, I guess, and got in?
Probably. While they were gone, he basically lived in their home. He was like, man, they're gone. I'm just going to live here.
At least he did the dishes.
Right.
Because I know people who have roommates and they do not do the dishes.
He washed his underwear, too.
God. I had a dude I was dating asked me to do the dishes. And then after I did two loads of dishes, he took me out back and broke up with me. And we were together like 8 months.
Nine months. Yeah.
Had me do the fucking dishes knowing he was going to break up with me. Asked me, hey, babe, will you do the dishes? And when you get done, will you come outside? I have something I want to talk to you about. All right. Two loads of dishes. No dishwasher. It's me. And then he's like, I think we should break up, babe.
Maybe we should go to his house and dirty all his dishes. Make him wash those dishes. Okay. A man from Ohio, Donald Chip Pug, texted police a photo of himself.
Chipbuck?
Yeah. He texted police a photo of himself and wrote, here is a better photo. That one is terrible. He told a radio station, they just did me wrong. They put a picture out there that made me look like I was a Thundercat or James Brown on the run, and I can't do that. The police responded to this and said, we appreciate him being helpful, but if it would be great if we, if he would, oh no, I can't read my handwriting. That's ridiculous, Nora. Why would I write like that? The police responded to this and said, we appreciated him being helpful, but it would be a great idea if he would come speak to us. He was later arrested in Florida on arson. He literally sent a picture of himself to the police station because he didn't like his picture. I thought that was funny.
There's actually a heist. We haven't covered it yet, but we are going to cover it. But he had left photos of himself in a car. And so the police took it and would send newspapers photos of this and be like, where you at, Brandon? We need you to come turn yourself in. We see that you are in Montana. Like, just...
That's great.
But we will cover that one eventually.
Yeah, I really wanted to do a Friday the 13th heist, but I work today, and...
Girl, you're going to have to give her something, because this is only 8 minutes.
Oh, no. I don't have anything.
You better else. Google.
Google?
I'll pause. You Google. And
okay.
We're back.
Okay. So Shelby made me look up stuff, but Shelby found this one, and we're going to talk about the Jordan Brown case. Who Shelby actually knew about, and I did not. So, bear with me. Anyway, Jordan Brown was born August 12th in 1997, which means he was just a little bit younger than us.
Mm-hmm.
A year younger than my little brother, or older than my little brother. Anyway, he was actually initially charged as an adult at 11 years old. He fatally shot his father's fiance, Kinsey Marie Houk, H-O-U-K, Houk. She was 26, so younger than us. this all happened in New Beaver, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Better watch your straw. Whoever's going to take it.
Yeah. On the morning of February 20th, 2019, Jordan was interviewed by Pennsylvania State Police twice that day and arrested before sunrise the next morning. So, all happened within a day, basically.
Yeah, I actually know a few things about this case. Oh. So, they were getting them ready for school, and it was just the mom and the kids. And then they heard a shot, and then he ran in there, found her unconscious. You can say it.
Unconscious.
Yeah.
Unconscious.
And bleeding, so he called 911, so they get there. And then an expert said that the gun had been shot, even though in the court, when it later comes out, that that person was not qualified to be like, oh, he's an expert.
Yeah.
That gun had been shot. So that's some of the stuff that they use to try and get a retrial for this case.
Gotcha. Yeah. Let's see. The Lawrence County District Attorney's Office initially filed the charges in adult court because it's required in Pennsylvania, apparently, because it's a homicide. Regardless of the defense's age, the Pennsylvania Attorney General's Office then took over prosecution of the case. After Brown had spent more than 3 years in juvenile detention center, his case I'm sorry, I lost my place. After Brown had spent more than 3 years in the juvenile detention center, while Pennsylvania courts deliberated on his status, Brown was tried in juvenile court and found guilty as a delinquent by a judge on April 13, 2012. So he's still serving in prison today. Mm-hmm. So,
but they're still trying to he's like on the, what is it, Innocence Project or something?
Yeah, where they,
So he's been in jail since he's 11.
Yeah. Where they retrial juveniles for serious crimes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's actually really hard to have juveniles sentenced for, like, a life term sentence or whatever. There's not very many. Although there was this one girl, I can't remember her name, but she killed, like, 7 children. She was, like, 7. Like, she was young. Mary something. Her case is pretty interesting, too. She lured this little girl into, like, an old abandoned train station. Or not train station. Maybe. Barn. Old abandoned building. And, like, stabbed her, like, 17 times.
Well, it's like, just, like, crazy. The Slender Man incident with the 2 12-year-olds took a girl out to the woods.
Killed her.
They didn't kill her. They stabbed her 32 times, and she crawled away out to the street.
Yeah, they were offering her to Slender Man, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She survived. I think she's in, like, her 20s now. Or teenage.
She's probably in her 20s now. That was a while ago.
Yeah. But yeah, I think she got stabbed 32 times and like it was like a millimeter away from her heart. Like she got lucky.
You know what I didn't know? I didn't know that Scream was based off of a real serial killer. We'll talk about that one. And then while Shelby made me do research just now, we found out that Friday the 13th is actually kind of could be about a real story, even though the producers say that it's not. Who's the murderer on Friday the 13th?
I don't watch scary movies because I can't control my bladder.
Okay. Well, on that note, Shelby can't control
my bladder. Like other people I know.
Oh, poor guy.
Well, that made it to 13 minutes.
Well, okay. It's Friday the 13th. Let's move on.
It's also been like a month and a half since we've had a podcast. We all had a lot of emotional trauma.
We're putting out 2 today. Tonight.
Yeah, we're going to do a heist here in a minute.
Yeah.
Watch me beat all this talk about Nora not being too long, and mine's only going to be like 2 minutes. We'll see. All right.
Bunch of baby ducks. Send them to the moon.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wait. We have handles. Oh, we'll do it in the next one.
We'll do it in the next one.
Bye.